everyone, and welcome to Girl Inside, the podcast, which is like a love letter from past me to future me, or maybe from future me to past me. There's no way to know. But it's also a love letter from me to you. And we'll just see what happens, because love can get weird, guys. So things might get a bit weird. This podcast is brought to you by bangersandmash.site. We've got a forum going. We've got a book club going. We're just about to finish the series on racism and chuck out some new books for spring. Are we about to go into spring? This is the problem with isolation. I have no idea what like month or season it is, and I'm having to Google like when is spring Southern Hemisphere, as if I didn't pass sixth grade. Like, I'm sure I know the answer. It's just my brain is melted. And that's part of the problem with just being inside for so long, is that I'm realizing I'm having trouble saying sentences, you know? I had to drop my car off for a service the other day, and he asked what my number plate was. And I was like, dunno, mate. I gave him a number plate of a car that no one in this family has driven or owned for like over 4 years. And then I was like, hold on a minute. No, that's not it. And then he asked me what phone number would be the best phone number to contact me on. And I went, oh, probably my mum's. Like, he would know what that was. Mind you, he kind of looked at me and went, okay. And then looked at the piece of paper in front of him and read out the phone number that was there. And it was my mum's phone number. So I was like, somewhere in my brain, I knew. I was like, you have the correct contact details. Just contact the one that's on the form. We've come here like twice a year, all the time. You know us. You know who we are. So I didn't need to tell him the information, but still, the inability to form a sentence and form a coherent thought is like really a problem. And I've also been obviously watching way too much YouTube. Well, like, who considers it too much? I do. I should be doing productive things in my life. I've been watching a lot of YouTube, and I really enjoy videos by this guy called Max Fosh, who does a series called Street Smart, where he just stands on the street and asks people questions. It's like Vox Pops, and it's always funny. But he does the crossword on the street with just people. And the amount that I was like, I know the answer to that, but I can't tell you what it is, but I know that I know it, and my brain feels so close to it. It's like on the tip of my brain, like warm in the front of my skull there. And I just couldn't get the answer right. Basically, my brain is fried because of ISO, and I can't form sentences. See, I can't. I mean, I was never that great at it in the first place. Obviously, we're always doing a lot of tangents here on Girl Inside in my childhood bedroom when I just reminisce about some shit that's happened. But yeah, I'm feeling more dumb. And obviously, I'm playing like Sudoku on my phone while also watching TV, because I could never just have one screen going at once. But I mean, there's a hint function, and I'm relying on that hint function a lot more than usual, which is a bit of a problem. Sure. I don't know how to become smarter other than reading, but I'll be honest with you guys, I was never the greatest reader in the first place. And at the moment, I've been really struggling to concentrate. It's been so hard to, like, I'll get halfway through a page and be like, I've taken none of this in, which I used to do a lot, but I'm doing more so now. Which is a problem, because as I said at the beginning of this podcast, Bangers and Mash is doing a book club about race. And I'm just really struggling to finish the books. And I'm supposed to be like leading the discussion on it. And I just don't know if I've got anything smart to say, because I just feel dumb. And part of the problem might be that I've taken to watching a lot of reality TV. I suddenly was like, I'm going to watch Bachelor in Paradise. I was about to say BIP, which really proves how deep into Bachelor in Paradise I am. So I watched all 13 episodes of Bachelor in Paradise, 13 hours of my life that I'll never get back. And it was honestly trash. It was honestly really trashy. And so to kind of lie to myself about why it was worth watching it, I was like, ugh, sociological studies about how people interact and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's one of those things that you know, but then when someone says it in a really specific way, you're like, oh, that's quite obvious. And I didn't come up with this phrase. Somebody else very smart said it to me, and I'm ripping it off. But the social capital that exists in tearing other people down. And I've seen a lot of memes before that, like, I've laughed at and I've, like, shared with friends that were basically like, oh, good friends like the same things as each other, best friends hate the same things as each other. And, like, that bonding that you have when you really hate something, and how much more powerful that can be when the something that you hate is a person. And the kind of negative downward spiral of hate begetting hate and frustration begetting frustration, because there is now a friendship, and the power of being able to stay in that group of people who you perceive as friends only through hating someone else, and being able to, like, drag them and, like, ooh, I've got some tea, and, like, all of this, like, gossipy talk that everybody loves to use online, that really was co-opted by the gay community from the black community, and is then obviously, because anytime white gays on Twitter do anything, the entire world is like, it's a new trend, and everyone's like, they didn't start it, but okay, they'll get the credit. And it became so prevalent watching Bachelor in Paradise, because people were in their vox pop interviews being like, I've got some tea, just quoting memes, and I'm like, what are you doing? You sound like a fucking idiot, like, more so than the usual amount of fucking idiot that I would expect from someone who's on Bachelor in Paradise. You sound like an absolute idiot trying to co-opt that language. And I don't, look, okay, there was, like, a couple of girls, and one was like Kiki, and one was Kira, and one was like Kelly or something, I don't even know. They all had, like, K-I-K-E names, and one of them, a blonde one, I don't know if that helps anybody, but she would drop into this kind of, like, black scent thing. She would be talking quite normally, and she'd drop into, like, girl, I don't know who you think I am. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so awkward listening to you doing that voice. You're imitating a gay man who you've probably seen on RuPaul's Drag Race, who is imitating a black woman. What are you doing? And you're like this 23-year-old white girl from Perth. And I'm just like, shut up. It made me really angry, and I didn't enjoy it. There certainly is a valid criticism of social spaces, which currently, and for the last 6 months now, are very online, in that tearing someone down is, like, cool. And, you know, I'm a liberal thinker. So in Australia, that means I don't vote for the Liberal National Party. It means I vote for either Labor or the Greens, almost usually the Greens. But as a liberal, quote unquote, politically liberal person, fucking liberals love a dunk on a conservative. They just love, and it's very, like, West Wing, Aaron Sorkin, The Newsroom. That speech with that guy who's a very famous actor, whose name I can't remember, where he's like, well, you think America is the best country in the world? Why? In education, we're 10th. Why? In healthcare, we're 40th. It blah, blah, blah. And he, like, lists all of these data points about how America's not the greatest country in the world. People love sharing that clip being like, yeah, dunked on them. And it's like, cool, they're still making policies. So I don't really... It kind of ties back to that thing of Bachelor in Paradise, whether you are interested in politics or interested in just getting drunk and fucking. There is a social capital in, I'm going to be negative about somebody else. I'm going to tear them down and, like, dunk on them. And, like, you know, oh, you showed them, like, you win the internet today, sir, because you, like, ripped someone a new one. And I just don't like it. I don't know. I don't have anything really poignant to say at the end of this. Seems really negative. Seems really, like, ugh. And I mean, I am just as responsible as the next person. And it's not just shit like BIP or, like, Real Housewives or what Kardashians or whatever the other reality TV shows are. It's not just those that are, like, spurring on negativity and tearing each other down and, like, a sassy, backhanded, like, click on click, you know, whatever. That's also politics. That's all politics is these days. That's all any media is these days. That's all your life is. That's how you make friends. And I don't like it. And that's all I have to say on that one. So I'm still not really leaving the house. And I am in New South Wales, but... And look, I know the numbers are different to a Victoria, but, like, right now, I'm just not leaving the house. It doesn't feel very safe to me. I did go to the shops a few times in the last 2 weeks. Once because I had to for an optometrist appointment. And then I went two more times to two other different shopping centers just because I was like, let's see what this is about. It is a non-compulsory activity that I can leave as soon as I want to. It's not like I'm like, I'm going to go back to the office, which very much is I'm going to be here for 8 hours. It's like, no, I'll just go to the shops. If I'm not feeling good, I can leave. I was wearing a mask. I like had my backpack on, hand sanitizer in pocket, like ready. Like I wasn't touching anything. There are dots on the floor when you line up. There are dots on the escalator when you're like not moving. There's lines on the floor of like where you're supposed to queue outside a store because certain stores are small enough. They can only allow a certain number of patrons in at one time. And I'm trying to do all of that. But man, not everyone is doing that. And it just feels really not safe to be out and about because other people, I don't know, they like don't want their lives disrupted by this. So they're just living their normal lives, which like is a legitimate feeling. I wouldn't necessarily agree it's a legitimate action, but I think it's a legitimate feeling. A lot of people not wearing masks, which again, there's studies done, validity of masks. I don't really know at this point. For me, wearing a mask is probably more about a symbol of respecting other people, as less so than it is about actual scientific validity. But I'm not a scientist and I haven't done studies. So like I'm out here wearing a mask to protect you and me. I'm social distancing and I just, yeah, I'm not really enjoying going places. Even sometimes the local park I'm really having a struggle with, but that's sort of the only thing I'm doing every day to leave the house is going to the local park. Obviously our McDonald's drive-thru. So if my local McDonald's has a COVID outbreak, like my mental health is going to go right off the deep end. Because chicken nuggets is the only thing getting me through right now, which was the case pre-COVID and it's the case during COVID and it will be the case post-COVID. But chicken nuggets is like my family. Chicken nuggets is like my family. So basically only walking around the local park. And I have a lot of thoughts when I walk around the local park and I'm like, oh, that's funny. I'll talk about that on the podcast. And then I just forget what all of them are. Because I'm going to walk around with a notepad in my pocket like I'm bloody Nancy Drew, like writing shit down? Absolutely not. And yeah, I've got my phone on me, but what am I going to walk around the local park texting? No. The pathways are uneven, sir. I will trip and fall. I will sprain an ankle or break a wrist. And I'm not interested in that because then I'd have to go to a hospital and I don't want that during a pandemic. I did have one thought, which was like, oh yeah, some adults call their parents by their first name. And I think about this because my closest friend does that. And I think it's cute and sweet, but I just think about that. I'm like, that's so far out of my world. And I don't have like a decree on whether or not I think that that's good or bad or weird or not weird. Or like, I just like, it's so far out of my world and the relationship that I have with my parents. I would never, ever be like, hi, Jane, how is your day? It just feels so weird to me. And then I think about it and I actually feel it's got nothing to do with my parents, actually. I mean, it obviously does because all of my idiosyncrasies and neuroses are to do with my parents. But, you know, I'll thank them in a therapist's bill later for that. But calling other people's parents by their first name. I don't care what you call your parents, but I want to call your parents by like their proper name, like as if they're a teacher and I'm 31. And if I meet my friend's parents, I still want to be like, hi, Mr. Johnson. Like, I can't be like, hi, Greg. It's just, who? We're not friends. We're not colleagues. It's weird for me to call you by your first name. I think it's because I want to show respect. But also I want to distance myself. Mostly for respect, but sometimes at work it's because I'm like, I don't want you to think that we can be friends, older man. You know. Like, whew, there's been a few conversations with some older dudes at work who I'm sure had very positive intentions and were just trying to be nice. But I was like, I need to distance myself from this because I don't want you to get any ideas. And so from now on I will be calling all people 25 plus years older than me by their surname exclusively, because otherwise it's weird. Am I doing it because I'm trying to hold on to my youth, my like quickly fading youth? Is that what it is? It makes me feel like I'm still in high school. Oh, God, that's really sad. That's a sad revelation to have on the podcast with you here with me. Well, I'm glad I'm not alone for it, really. I'm glad I'm not alone to have that revelation. Glad you were by my side. Thanks, guys. Thanks for that. So since I'm not really going outside, and as I have stated in multiple podcasts, I'm doing a lot of being like a capital S sad girl online. Like that's, I don't know, I'm kind of leaning into that. Because like where else am I going to be a sad girl? On Facebook, where people who actually know me can read it? No, that's not going to happen. And also, I don't use Facebook. I'm really not logging in to Facebook ever. I don't think it's worthwhile. And like Instagram is where you're horny, right? And Twitter is where you're sad. And I don't use any other social media. I mean, I did get TikTok at the beginning of quarantine, lost a couple of days watching TikToks, and then made like 4 or 5, most of which were me just like fucking around with the filters being like, lol, look at my stupid big lips. And then decided that I hate everything that I make and didn't want to make any more TikToks. And I think I made like 5 TikToks and went back and deleted 2 of them like 3 months later because I was like, oh, I'm so embarrassed by myself. But I don't even go on TikTok to watch TikTok because so many of the good ones that are from people that I like, I follow them on Twitter and they repost them on Twitter. And I just don't have the time in my day. I'm already losing hours, I'm not kidding, to Twitter. And to, like, I'm back on Tumblr now because, like, what else was I doing? And to YouTube and to Netflix. I'm already losing so much time in my day. I cannot add TikTok to that. Oh, I'm a sad girl online is what I was going to say. But I'm trying to not do that so much anymore. And so I pivoted my Twitter to I'm now an official anti-pepper account. Oh my God, that was the grossest, wettest burp. What the fuck did I eat? Oh, I had a full pizza for lunch. And I woke up and within 33 minutes, I had put a pizza in the oven. I was like, I'm ready for bread and cheese exclusively in my body. And you know what I didn't put on that pizza? It was pepper. Yeah, tied it back to the original point I was making. Sucked in everybody else who thought I couldn't do it because like crowd goes wild. I don't like that salt and pepper are a pairing. I don't think that they should be both always offered on the table. I think it's insane when you make a dish and people, before they've tasted the dish, add both salt and pepper. Just what the heck? Firstly, just learn to develop flavors in your dish. Don't, like, learn what spices are. Like, spend some time with the spice rack learning what spices are. Whoever's doing the cooking needs to know about spices. This was a general anti-pepper statement. You, as an individual, don't actually have to learn spices. If you don't like cooking, it's fine. Two things. Salt brings out the existing flavor in the dish. Pepper adds another conflicting dimension of flavor. So you can add salt to almost anything and it will always taste good. That's why salted caramel tastes good. That's why salt in desserts tastes good. Salt tastes good in everything because it brings out the existing flavor of the dish. Pepper is an additional flavor and it's not even that good of one. Like if you want to add some spice, use paprika, mate. What are you doing? Anyway, I'm now an anti-pepper account online. That's all I will be tweeting about for the foreseeable future. I went back and watched I don't know if it was like kind of an under the radar series. It was a Netflix series by the Wachowski sisters called Sense8, which is about 8 people who have a psychic link and they're all in like their mid-30s and that psychic link gets like woken up in them and they're like not Homo sapiens, they're something else. Anyway, it's cool. It's very well shot. There's a lot of like queer themes. I very much enjoyed it. But also because it's by the Wachowskis who did The Matrix, as you may know, it's kind of like there's a lot of action and it's also a bit like a dark psychological thriller. There's like an evil organization out to get them and like do brain experiments on them, right? And so then Netflix suddenly is like, oh, you like dark psychological thrillers? Here's all of this fucked up shit that we're going to show to you and just like autoplay these trailers, even though you haven't clicked on them. Just while you're browsing. And I'm like, I don't want to see that shit ever. All I want to see is gay people in positive relationships being queer together in a world that is like, yay, this is fine. We love you all. So, and that's going to be all I care about from now on. Because very much like my online presence is supposed to be very about like, oh, I write scripts and stuff. And it sort of is, but really I'm just going to pivot into like reacting to re-watching TV shows in quarantine, which is not what this podcast is supposed to be. But I mean, this is all I've done. All I've done is watch TV shows and then have thoughts based on those TV shows. Oh, we have possums in our house. Oh, okay. So I was posting a lot on Instagram about some possums that we had living in the gutters. We have a back patio that then got covered over with like a plastic roofing. And so there's like a tiny section of the guttering in our house that is dark, warm, protected from birds, hard to get in and out of unless you are a tiny possum who can like get in through the hole in the gutter cover. So we had a pair of possums turn up and start living in the gutter, like in our back. Porch is the wrong word. Balcony is the wrong word. Patio. What is wrong with me? I've been watching too much American television. That's what's wrong with me. And they were afraid of us for a while. And then they were kind of looking at us for a while. And I kept going out and trying to like film them, and then there was a moment where a kookaburra came and quite clearly wanted to eat them but couldn't get up where they were, which is like why it was the perfect spot for them to nest. But then we called a lot of like wires and other kind of pest removal people, and all of them were like, possums are a protected species, we can't do anything to help you, they are just there forever unless they are like eating into wires or like burrowing into your house or like harming something, we can't help you at all. But then we did have a guy come out, and what he did was he fixed the hole in the guttering, which is how the possums were getting in and out. And he put in like a trap door essentially. So if they were inside the gutters, they could get out. But if they were out, they couldn't get back in. And that makes me really sad. I don't know. I just feel really sad that like we dehomed these possums. But you can't relocate possums, because if we got a guy to come and then put them in a tree in the backyard, they would never nest in the tree. They would always make their way back to the original place that they nested. So you have to like, for them not to do that, you have to put them like at least 10 kilometers away from your house. But if you put them that far away, then they're just in other possum territory and they're going to get attacked by other possums. So you can't do that either. So basically the only way is like you either let them live there or, yeah, you just kind of like lock them out of their house. Oh, that makes me feel so sad. You lock them out of their house and then they choose like, oh, okay, well, we have to stay in this area because it's our territory, but we can't go back to where we were. So now we'll nest in the tree. It's like, so we're not kicking them out, and they didn't have babies or anything. So animals are smart, and it's sad, but also it wasn't the best place for them to be. And yeah, like I said, a kookaburra like came onto our back patio and was trying to attack us because we were in the way. So that was a whole debacle. But the possums are gone now, which like that was the only interesting thing happening to me in my house for a long time. That happened during the 14-day lockdown. Last time I recorded a podcast, I was in that 14 days after my mum had come back from Victoria. And now we're like, I'm out and about. I can do whatever the New South Wales laws say I can do, which I'll be honest with you, don't know what those are. Like I'm working from home. I'm making this podcast at home. I'm walking at my local park. Like what else do I need? Like when I did go to the shop, I was like, oh, I maybe want a new jumper, because every single jumper that I own now has food stains on it from where I've sat almost horizontal on the couch eating, and it just drips out of my mouth, like onto my boobs. And then I get a chocolate stain or a tomato sauce stain from the pizzas that I have. I just have stains on all of my jumpers. So I was like, maybe I'll get a few new cute jumpers for lounging around the house in. And I realized I just hate shopping. I would like walk into a store and just be like, oh, I hate this. And then turn around and walk straight back out. Which became a problem because in certain stores, there's like an entrance and exit, which I wasn't aware of when I just turned around and literally walked straight back out. But thankfully, there weren't enough people that I was like directly walking at another human, which is why they do it. The signposting is like not as good as it should be if they're expecting people to completely change the way that they physically move around spaces that they've already existed in for years. Like, I just like, if you are suddenly going to be like, oh, this is an entrance and this is an exit, I'm going to need a little bit more than a black and white, like A4 sign stuck too far to the left of where I'm supposed to look, because that's the only place that there's a window that you can stick a sign to. Like, it's just not, that's not going to be enough. I'm sorry. I worked in retail long enough. No sign, no one's ever looked at the signage. No one has ever looked at any of the signage, and they will always ask you, how much does this cost? And you'll go, it's on the bloody price tag. Literally, the terms and conditions are on the signage. Just fucking read. But no one reads. And as a customer, I'm the same. I don't read. So they definitely need to make the signage clear if they want people to not be walking in and out just willy-nilly. I'm just a kid. Oh, yeah, catch me, 31 years old, singing Simple Plans, I'm Just a Kid. Oh, exhausting. I'm just exhausted by the fact that I haven't listened to any new music in like 10 years. That's a lie. I got really into Hozier, but other than that, nothing else. I just don't really listen to new music. And I don't know, even from the same bands that I love, I remember being, when was it? 2014? No, it must have been 2016. I listened to an album that one of my favorite bands, Tonight Alive, had come out with in like 2014. And then they've come out with a new one since then. And the other day I was like, oh, why hasn't Tonight Alive come out with any new music recently? And they have. I just haven't listened to it. It's been over 4 years. They've come out with a whole album. I just was like, oh, and? Same thing with all of my favorite bands. Anything that they came out with like post-2014 probably wasn't really I did not pay attention to that. Because, I mean, let's be real, 2014 was my divorce. So I think we have a reason for me to suddenly disengage from anything positive and to be like sad and on the couch and just listening to shit that I listened to when I was 16 on repeat. Yeah. And then 2016 was when I went overseas and I just decided I really love that song Chicken Fried, which is probably something that like Trump lovers love. But it's like for me a caricature of America. And I just find it really enjoyable. So it's about a pair of jeans that fit just right, you know? Don't you love a pair of jeans that fit just right? That is transatlantic. That's not pro-America. That's not pro-Trump. That's just shit that everybody loves, you know? And that's just a little bit of chicken fried. It's a cold beer on a Friday night. I actually hate beer anyway. There was a period of time in my life where I tried to be like, I love beer so much to like impress boys. The truth was, I really like beer production. I really like whiskey production. I really love talking about and understanding how alcohols are made, but I don't like the taste of them. So I would like chat about beer with dudes all the time and know more about beer production than them, which, spoiler alert, they did not like. Men don't like it when you're smarter than them about something that's typically masculine. But then it made them think that I loved drinking beer. And I was like, no. I just like knowledge. Why would I actually like drinking beer? I'll have a cider or a vodka Coke. People are like, what type of alcohol do you like? I'm like, I drink spirits. And like, ooh, girls who drink spirits. I'm like, no. I'm not fucking wearing a suit, drinking a cigar, being like one of the boys. I just drink vodka. I just drink like vodka lime soda. It's always vodka Coke, but then I was like, too much sugar, so vodka lime soda. Because it's bad for you, and I eat and drink so much sugar in my other time, you know, like I'm having two large Cokes from Macca's and then to go out that night and have more Coke, that's bad for you. And then your vomit is literally black. And if it's not black, very dark green, depending on how many vodka Cokes you have. And that just made me feel like I had the devil inside me. So we switched to vodka lime soda. I went to the Woolworths the other day and I parked my car, and in front of me was like a huge, God, I don't even know what. It was like a four-wheel drive. It wasn't even really a truck. It was like a suburban mum car, you know, like a RAV4 or something, but it wasn't a RAV4. And the bumper sticker, my God, the bumper sticker. It was the silhouette of a naked woman on her knees. Now, to start with, questionable for you to be just driving around in public with that. Like, why is that acceptable? Like, yes, let's like normalize the female nipple, but does it always have to be in a sexual context? And then the text of the bumper sticker in like a disgusting brush pen font. Not good. Like if you're a graphic designer, you know exactly the one that I mean. And it says, if you're going to ride my ass, at least pull my hair. And you know what? That made me realize I don't want to reintegrate into society. I am going to stay at home. I'm done. I'm done with everyone else because of that bumper sticker. And on that note, I think I'm going to leave it there for today. I hope you guys stay safe, stay indoors, stay respectful of everybody else, be vigilant because, you know, it's still bad. Just because it's not as bad as it was, you know, 4.5 months ago doesn't mean it's not still the potential to be that bad again. You know, it's tough. We're all getting through this time together. I think that you're, you know, you're doing the best job that you can. Keep doing the best job that you can. And I'm proud of you. And you're a babe. And I'll see you soon. Bye. Here's something. Every time I say you're a babe, I get embarrassed. And I think of one specific person who I think thinks we're friends, but is quite cruel to me all the time. Just like says horrible shit, like judgy shit, and thinks that like brutal honesty is like a cool way to be. And I'm like, you're kind of just rude. And every time I say you're a babe, I think of her being like, well, actually, this is why that's a problem. And this is why you shouldn't say it. And this it, I just find it embarrassing. And I'm like, I find you embarrassing. Shut up. Anyway, that's that. End of. Moving on with my life.